I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to 106.7 The Fan. I am Adam Epstein on a Saturday, September 26th. And I am so happy to be back on the radio here. We are in the midst of another NFL season, and the NFL is king. I love watching it. I've been betting on it every weekend. I hope to tell you my picks. Maybe I'll win you some money. But as always, with me on the air here, it is an interactive show. You can tweet me at the One Sports Nerd. The phone lines will be open. We will be talking to you guys here. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. A topic on the show today is Scott Turner. I'm officially a Scott Turner guy. I never liked Norv Turner. I was always against Norv, but two games into the season, I like Scott Turner's offense. B topic on the show is the keys to victory. Where are my keys? Yeah, I need my car keys for this segment. The keys to victory coming up in a little bit for a victory versus Cleveland on Sunday. It's the Browns. We should win. It's the Browns, but I'll get into more of that later. I also want to talk about how Dwayne Haskins can improve his game and what I've liked so far. I'm going to give you my winners for the NFL and the NBA. There is a game tonight, Lakers versus Nuggets. I got a little bit of a non-sports topic for you later in the show as well, but I like to start the show with today in sports. What do we have going on today and tonight, and what can we bet on there, and how can we make some money, and what should we watch if we're just a normal sports fan? Well, the Lakers versus Nuggets, 9 p.m. tonight. LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They've really got it going the last few games. The addition of Rondo to the lineup since the Rockets series, and he's starting to look like his old self at times. And having a veteran point guard takes a lot of pressure off LeBron, freeing him up defensively to focus on shutting down Jamal Murray, which he was able to do at the end of Game 4. LeBron had two key blocks on Jamal Murray to ice the game. Draymond Green even chimed in on Twitter saying Jamal Murray hasn't earned those blocks by LeBron to be called fouls. Because it was a little bit of a back and forth. He wanted a foul call there. A lot of people, Nuggets fans, agreed there. But LeBron got the blocks. So I'm not sure I'd agree. But I do think that the Lakers are just too good now. With Kuzma scoring off the bench. Dwight Howard's playing meaningful minutes. And more importantly, Anthony Davis at times looks like by far the best player on the court. You cannot stop him. Jokic is too slow. And I've got the Lakers ending the series tonight. I'm also going to tell you some more about Jimmy Butler and my guy Tyler Hero being an absolute hero for the Heat later in the show. In the MLB today, at 3:05, you can watch or listen to on The Fan, the New York Mets versus the Washington Nationals. Washington has been eliminated from the playoffs. The Mets aren't much better, so look for this one to be a close one. I've got the win for the good guys. In the NHL, it is the Stanley Cup Finals going on. Dallas versus Tampa Bay. The Lightning with a 3-1 lead with Game 5 tonight at 8 p.m. Tampa Bay have won three straight since dropping the series opener, and I think they'll close out the series with a win tonight. In the English Premier League, this is where the bettors need to listen and jot this down on your phone. Here are the notes. My friend Andrew Pissarro, who hosts the Ghost Goal podcast, is on a hot streak. Legit made me $45 last week because I'm cheap and I'm only putting 15 on each game. But he's on a hot streak, and here's what he's telling you. Long shot, Wilfred Zaha to score anytime versus Everton. Jamie Vardy to score anytime versus Man City. Money line of the week, Wolves over West Ham at plus 110. Liverpool versus Arsenal over 3.5 goals. That has hit eight straight times in Anfield. And then my pick here is lock it in, guys, at 12:30, Chelsea over West Brom. So those are basically what's going on in sports today. A lot of college football also. I haven't been keeping up with that as much, honestly. It's been weird. It's been different, and I'm not playing fantasy college football for the first time this season, and that's kind of what kept me in it. That's kind of what kept me focused and, you know, wanting to watch every game. But this is going to be a Washington football team heavy show. Why is that? Because they are by far my favorite team on the planet. But on the planet. And I came on here all summer and was talking about, I don't care about the name change because it's good for progress and I'm all for equality. And now we're in the midst of a season. I don't want to talk about the name change anymore. I want to talk about the guys on the field. I want to talk to you about Dwayne Haskins. I want to talk to you about Antonio Gibson and why I think that J.D. McKissick needs the rock more. J.D. McKissick had like 50 yards on eight carries. J.D. McKissick was playing like a veteran, seeing the holes and finding the holes, where Antonio Gibson might have these crazy quick legs, but he's not doing what he needs to do, which is following your blockers. There was a play, and everyone on Twitter sees this. There's so many great follows out there, J.P. Finley, John Keim. And everyone, the new thing is the Twitter breakdown, right, of the films when they come out on Tuesday. And I saw so many times Antonio Gibson, one, dodging people in the backfield, which needs to change from the O-line, but two, cutting outside the left tackle when he needs to be cutting inside of him, or on a counter play going up the middle when he needs to try to break it outside and beat a faster linebacker to the corner. He's young, and he's playing like a young running back, and I think we're seeing that. So I would give more carries to J.D. McKissick. But we also have the phone lines working here. 1-800-636-1067 is the number again. And we will be getting to your phone calls throughout the show. 1-800-636-1067. Again, I want to talk about Scott Turner. I want to talk about my keys to victory and how Dwayne Haskins can improve his game. I have been gambling a lot since I've been home during the quarantine. And so I will tell you guys later in the show my lock of the week. Here's what I've been doing, and you can call in and give me your take and your opinion, and my producer Sean over there can tell me who he thinks is going to win this weekend. But I have been parlaying 3 1 o'clock games, 3 4 o'clock games, and then parlaying the primetime games. And it for some reason, I'm not putting a lot of money on it, but it gives me more of a reason to watch and more of a reason to root. I was actually cheering for the Cowboys last week. The Cowboys, the Jets, and the Steelers were my parlay. And at halftime, I thought I was screwed. And then, you know what? The Cowboys came back and changed everything. They basically put their season back together. I mean, their season was in shambles at halftime there. They put it back together. And I will also break down the NFC East later in my show. I've got a couple of great guests coming up. Travis Thomas. The Travis Thomas Experience at 10 a.m. We'll be picking winners here on the show, as well as talking about the Washington football team. My guy, Logan Paulson. Logan Paulson has been doing pregame shows on 106.7 with JP Flame from the Junkies. And he's also I'd call him a cagey veteran. He played a lot of years in the NFL, a lot of them here in Washington. So I have to talk to him about the tight end. Specifically, it's Logan Thomas, who for some reason I feel like has the worst vertical in the history of tight ends in the NFL. Like, he was so open to have a chance there to make that huge touchdown grab in the second quarter, and he got like 3 inches off the ground. Maybe it's because he played quarterback in college at Virginia Tech, but the guy doesn't get high enough off the ground. Dwayne Haskins actually put it in a great spot. He really did. But there's nothing you can do about that if your tight end is just feet locked to the ground. Literally locked to the ground. Please tweet me during the show at the One Sports Nerd, and the phone lines will be open as well. But I need to let you guys know here that I'm doing this show with a heavy heart. We lost a member of the AWOD Army this week. One of my boys from Arlington, Rishi Sharma, passed away. Big Reach loved talking about sports with his boys, watching sports with his boys, and betting on sports with his boys. My friend Rishi was one of the only friends that cared about every DC sport as much as I do. He loved the Skins, loved the Wizards, loved the Nats. He'd mess around and attend a Mystics game. He was the ultimate sports fan and one I was happy to call a friend. So this show, this episode of my show is dedicated to him, dedicated to Rishi Sharma. Life is fragile. Life is short. Carpe diem. Everyone, please, seize the day. I'll be right back. Dean hits me up on Twitter, says, Haskins will be on the run tomorrow. Myles Garrett will terrorize that shoddy O-line. And he's not wrong there. We are definitely in for a battle here against Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland, as a lot of us probably watched last Thursday night, just demolished the Cincinnati Bengals with their two running back system. And even Baker Mayfield looked good on the run, hitting Odell Beckham on a long 50-yard bomb. I mean, this Cleveland team, I really think it's all about that first quarter. Because if we change their game plan, if we score first, then they're not going to be able to run to set up the pass. If we are forcing them to pass to set up the run, it completely switches everything up. And it's a huge, huge, huge thing for the Washington football team to do that. I mean, we've gotten off to bad starts in all the first couple games. And not only that, though, like not even just the bad starts, it's the trailing. You know what I mean? It's like giving up, because your offense can be bad at first, but if your defense holds you in it and it's 1-1 at the end of the first quarter, 0-0 at the end of the first quarter, you're still in it. But we've been giving up opening drive touchdowns, and that's what has cost us through these first two games. 1-800-636-1067. Through two games, I already know I've become a fan of Scott Turner and the Scott Turner offense. We haven't seen the running game really get going, but I think that's because of the terrible offensive line. But the schemes and the ideas have been there. I love, 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 love how often Steven Sims and Antonio Gibson are in motion. I really like that. Much like a tough math problem, I like to confuse the defense, try to confuse them with motion in the backfield. Having two speedy players going in the opposite directions, that's a split second of hesitation for the middle linebackers. And when they use that hezzy for 1 second, it can cause a huge hole for the running back. And I think Washington has struggled because the D-line for the opposing team have been pushing Scherff, Wes Martin, and Chase Roullier deep into our backfield. And it's disrupted the timing of Gibson getting off the line. You know what I mean? So he has to get it, and he has to always dodge someone in the backfield. And that's ruining basically his drive so far. But I've also noticed the use of play-action rollouts. Through the first two games, we've seen a lot more of Dwayne Haskins getting out of the pocket. Now, if you guys remember, I said on my show over the summer that Dwayne lost all his body fat. The man is looking good, and he's two steps quicker on every rollout action this season because of that weight loss and because he's gotten into better shape. And while that is true, he also has a lot of work to do because he's still noticeably slower than the speedy D-line he's playing against, than Russell Wilson, than Cam Newton, and even Josh Allen in Buffalo looks faster than him. But that can improve with more opportunities. And I love the way he can get outside the pocket and hopefully steal 4 yards, because the biggest thing for a young quarterback is to keep the chains moving. Dwayne desperately needs to keep the chains moving. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Roman in Maryland. Roman, you're on the fan with Adam Epstein.
Good morning.
Hey, morning, man.
Listen, I want to weigh in real quick and relates to Antonio Gibson. I do think he's going to be a star in the league. I got to tell you, man, what I did notice from the last game was that there was zero in on him, as to say that they didn't want to get beat by Antonio Gibson, and then they actually focused on him. I think if Antonio Gibson gets the ball in the open field, as opposed to being used as a true running back, and give him a little room to go with the ball and have a little freedom to run, I think he's going to show a lot, and he's already shown a lot being used as a running back.
Yeah,
I can only wait and see what he can do in the open field if it's used properly. So, anyway, for whatever that's worth, I think we have a star there on our team, and I think it's the ultimate compliment to be paid to him that they're starting to zero in. That's to say, let's not Antonio Gibson beat us.
Yeah, Roman, stay with me here. I'm totally with you. I think an Antonio Gibson breakout game is coming. If it's not this week, it could be the week after. But do you understand what I'm saying where I say that J.D. McKissic, though, as a running back, has been more of the veteran, the guy that's been able to read the holes better. And Antonio Gibson, he's faster, he probably has better cuts, and he's the future rather than McKissic. But right now, McKissic, in my opinion, has been able to do more with less with that offensive line. They're both dealing with the same terrible offensive line, but McKissic, in my opinion, has been able to either bounce it outside or cut through tiny holes bigger than Gibson.
I 100% would agree with that, and I've noticed the same thing as you have. Mm-hmm. But I've also have noticed that they have not focused on McKissic as much. The defense has not.
Yeah.
And so it gives him an opportunity to kind of come in and do his thing. I think from what I can see, I think the coaching staff is waiting to see what Antonio Gibson can do just as a true running back. And I think that the yardage he's produced himself. And I think some of those passes that have been thrown to him have been like third reads, third option passes,
yeah.
And have not been on the money.
Yeah,
I think if we design a pass to, you know, or passing scheme or his first option, Haskins' first options, I mean, look out. And I think I do think that's what's going to happen. But I agree with you. I think Antonio Gibson, though, I think he's shown me in two games he's going to be the real deal. If it's utilized properly, I think the future looks bright, and I just hope that hope Haskins can have a little bit better reads,
yeah.
A little better progression in his reads, and especially in the short passes.
Yeah, Roman, you're getting me hyped, man. You're getting me excited. Thanks for the call, man. And you made some great points, and I think the biggest one is that Dwayne Haskins, when he hits the running back, has to hit them in stride, has to lead them, has to hit them early, because a lot of times we've seen he's thrown to the running backs, and boom, there's a linebacker in their face tackling them. And that just makes a two-yard gain a two-yard gain, when a two-yard gain could be 6, 7, or 8 if you hit him on target and on time. Let's go to Mitch from New Jersey. Mitch, what's up? You're on the fan.
Morning, Adam.
Morning, Mitch.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Just a few things. I like defensive line. It's very young, talented.
Mm-hmm.
Got another fast quarterback. I hope they can play like they did in game one. Baker Mayfield is a pretty good quarterback. And I got to ask, when are they going to come out with a team name? How long can it be? I mean, it shouldn't be like, I don't want to bring up what's going on in the world, but this should be an easy solution.
Yeah.
Come up with a name.
So let me tell you this, Mitch. I think the reason they're waiting is because they don't want to come up with a bad name. And we've seen the social media hate, trying to cancel people. I mean, if they come up with Red Wolves, it's going to be a 50-50 split, I think, with the fan base. And that's what they don't want. So that's why they're waiting. They're taking their time. And quite frankly, I don't know that they have the right people in the building right now to come up with a name. Like, I mean, they've done a good job with bringing in a new president and bringing in Julie Donaldson. But are we trusting that they're creative enough to come up with a name that's going to last for the next 75 years? I think that's a big reason why they've gone with this Washington football team and trying to promote the established 1932. We're here forever. And if they're successful in this season or the next few seasons, I think it could stay like that, you know?
I hope not. But can they, I like the, you know, the Senators, but can they borrow maybe another name from another team? Because like, there's a couple of Giants, there's a couple of Cardinals.
Yeah.
Even in college basketball, we had the Wildcats against the Wildcats in the 90s with Kentucky against Arizona. I mean, it doesn't have to be original, so you don't have to, you know, so that should make it a little easier. Anyway, yeah. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Mitch, thanks for calling from New Jersey. We need the New Jersey people to call in all the time here on The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Julia, Anthony, I see you on the line. Saba, real quick, going to go to you before the break. Hey, Saba.
Hey there, hey, sir. Thank you for taking my call. It's nice to listen to you on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, no problem. How are you doing in North Carolina?
Oh, doing great. Just sitting in the car, getting ready to go in. I don't want to miss the call, so I'm getting ready to go do a little Costco shopping.
All
me
right.
And my little puppy. So, hey, so here's my thing. First of all, about the name, real quick, just because that other gentleman mentioned it. I don't think we should come up with a new name, and we've retired it because people come out and names come out of retirement. I don't think it's ever going to change. I think Redskins is going to come back as soon as all this mess kind of goes over, you know, just kind of just the settles down, and then people just kind of go back to realizing how ridiculous it was to change it in the first place. So that's my take on that. And we can agree to disagree. We can debate without hate. So as far as the team is concerned, the Redskins, how about this idea? I feel that Haskins, I personally don't think he's the answer, and I'm in the, I think, maybe minority or 50-50, I don't know. I get a lot of angry callers after I hang up, so be ready for that. But I don't think he's the answer because I don't see a guy that has good footwork, pocket presence, he's not accurate, and he can't run. So those, like, he doesn't really have a thing to go to. What he has is his passes, y'all keep talking about the line's not good enough. His passes, actually, he's completed are less than 2 seconds. But it's not because he makes a decision quickly. It's because they're one read, quick glance.
Right.
He can actually get rid of the ball 2 seconds, which every line can give you that, but he doesn't do a good read at the line of scrimmage. He doesn't really already know where he's going. He doesn't progress quick enough like the Burrows or the the guy from San Diego. I mean, he did better. And those lines are sieves. And they run around. They make room. You saw what Burrow did against Cleveland the week before. His line is god-awful. But he threw for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, 61 times, no interceptions.
Yeah.
So what I'm asking you is, let's just put to the side that Haskins is or is not the answer. I don't think he is, but let's just ignore that. What about put Kyle Allen, not that I think he's the answer, okay? Just listen to me. Put Kyle Allen in about half the game. Because we're in the developmental phase. That's what the coach says. We're developmental right now. Winning is not important. Let's put him in so we can evaluate what we have. We can evaluate what these receivers look like. What are our tight ends? What does our line look like? What are the running backs doing? Just to see, is it the quarterback or is it the rest of the team that's the reason we're not succeeding on offense? What do you think about that?
I understand what you're saying. Here would be my response to that, Saba, and I really appreciate the call. Here's what I'm saying. Is that
thank you.
One of my friends, all right, this might be a terrible example, but one of my friends, his favorite thing to do is to start a project and then not finish it. He'll start a podcast and he'll do 6 episodes and then it'll fade away. He'll start a Twitter account and he'll be tweeting all day and all of a sudden get some momentum and then stop tweeting. And or a simple thing is he'll start a video game and he'll be down at halftime and he'll quit. I do not stop projects. I finish them and I see if they fail, that's fine. But I'm not going to stop the project of Dwayne Haskins 2 games into the season. I'm not going to stop the project of Dwayne Haskins 8 games into the season if we're 1-7. I'm going to say Dwayne Haskins needs 12, 13, 14, maybe even 16 games because he didn't play enough in college. He wasn't challenged enough even in high school because he played for a stud team. He needs to develop into an NFL quarterback. He's a project, and we cannot... We cannot hang up his cleats yet. That's just my opinion.
I don't think we're stopping it. With all due respect, I don't want to stop the project. I'm saying assess it. This is a way of assessing it. He comes back in the game. We're just assessing to see how different is it with him in it versus Kyle Allen. Then we can decide, wait a minute, is he worth continuing on? I'm not stopping the project. This is part of the assessment. Is it him or is it the team that's the problem? That's what I'm saying. That's not stopping the project. It's assessing it. It's part of it.
All right. We can agree to disagree there, Saba. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
Costco. All right.
Thank you, bud.
Yep. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Be like Saba. Argue with me. Tell me I'm wrong and you're right. That's good radio, in my opinion. I'm Adam Epstein, here to 12 noon on The Fan. If you need to rewind for any other show, you can do that with the radio.com app. It's all simple. It's pretty easy. Download the app and there's a rewind button. You can go back 15 seconds. You can go back to the start of the show. It's all there for you to plug and play with at the radio.com app. And 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Hit me up on Twitter at the One Sports Nerd. Andrew says he's listening. Dario says he's listening. Tweet me your thoughts for Washington versus Cleveland tomorrow at 1 p.m. if you want them read on the show. 1-800-636-1067. And I'm talking about the Washington offense right now and how much I've enjoyed Scott Turner through just 2 games. I mean, the play action rollouts, the offensive running schemes have been there, the motion with it, and it's also the recognition. I think Scott Turner has noticed what's not working and adjusted at halftime. Part of that goes on Ron Rivera, but the Washington football offense has been extremely better in the second half than they have been in the first half. That's a fact. The credit should go to the coaching for those adjustments and improvements. If it didn't work on the first three drives, forget about it and move on to another page in the playbook. Scott Turner has done that. He's also recognized the sluggish start from Dwayne in Arizona and threw the hurry-up offense on him to get that get him to start thinking quicker. And I believe it worked. I know it's one of the, like, those running jokes in the NFL that if your quarterback sucks for three straight drives, you got to do the no huddle. It's just like it's what you do to try to get him started. And I hate that we had to do that with Dwayne in just week two, but it worked. And the offense got going and then eventually put up a couple touchdowns. And I never wanted Scott Turner to be named the offensive coordinator. That's just my opinion. I had too much of a bad taste in my mouth with hiring a son of a former coach. The Kyle Shanahan stench was still on my breath. And you could feel it, you could smell it every time I put my mask on. But maybe I shouldn't hate Kyle either, because the team excelled offensively when he was here, but it was the behind-the-scenes drama that caused his demise, and I felt like there was a chance for that to be repeat with Scott Turner when his name was mentioned. The failure of the Norv Turner era is what came to my mind immediately. Norv Turner was fired in 2000 in the midst of his seventh season as head coach, another season below 500 football. I was 8 years old at the time, guys. And now, maybe I'm thinking Norv Turner wasn't the worst. But I was too young to realize it then, and the owner and the GM were causing all the chaos. But now, 20 years later, and I'm on the radio, and I'm yelling at you guys, telling you, I love some Scott Turner. It's refreshing to have a young mind once again at OC when we've had our boy Sean McVay, who's gone on to excel, and Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers. So it's good. And I desperately want Scott Turner to prove the world that he's more of a football coach than his father. 1-800-636-1067. What are your thoughts on the offense so far? Let's go to Eric in Chantilly.
Good morning, Adam.
Yep. Good morning, Eric.
The one thing that mind boggles me is one thing that Scott Turner did really well for the Panthers is he ran or passed running back screens to Christian McCaffrey just awesomely. But here we never run any running back screens at all for the Skins. You know, we have a terrible offensive line. I think those are things that we need to start doing is running some more screens with our running backs.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'd even throw in there, let's get a screen for Terry McLaurin early in the game to get him some touches. Because I think Terry McLaurin's the kind of guy that once he has that first catch, once he has his first yards on his stat sheet, he gets more into the game. He gets more excited to run a route and beat his man and keep going. And I really think he needs a hot start for the offense to succeed. 1-800-636-1067. Bill from Fredericksburg. Bill, you're on the Fan.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Bill. How are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Good. What are your thoughts, man?
I totally agree with you about they're making really good halftime adjustments.
Yeah.
But what it's also showing is that they got to do better game planning for their first half.
Yeah.
The reason they're having to make halftime adjustments is they're getting blown out in the first half. And to me, that means they've got to spend more time or change their processes a little bit or something on coming up with the game plan. The original game plan must not be that good.
Yeah, no, Bill.
Adjustments are great.
Yeah. Bill, I'm with you. So what do you think? What do you think? Do you think it's on the offensive play calling? Do you think it's on the O-line? Because for me, the most terrible thing is when you get a false start to start your play, to start your drive, or you get a holding, and then that puts you behind the sticks, and you're trying desperately on a 3rd and 13 to make a play that you just can't catch. Bill?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. If they get behind like that with a bad first down or second down, I mean, part of it could be the play calling, but I think it's game planning. They got the same players playing both halves.
Yeah.
So there's something with the game, and I'm not good enough. I mean, I've been a football fan forever, but I'm not good enough to notice where they could be changing their game plan to work better against the team they're going with. They'd either be better scouting on the team or something. There's something with the game planning that's not right.
Well,
adjustments are great.
Let me tell you this, Bill, and let me see what you think about this, because I totally agree with you, and I think what they're trying to do is establish the running game. And you have a rookie running back in Antonio Gibson. I already talked about, I don't think he's seeing the holes correctly, but maybe they could adjust by taking an early shot. First play of the game, go deep. We've seen other teams, the Bengals suck. And I know they've done that to us twice when they had Mohamed Sanu. They beat us deep on the first play of the game. So maybe it's taking more shots early to get the defense on their heels, you know, back them up off a little bit. What do you think about that?
I think that they definitely need to go down the field more. Yeah. Maybe not just a long bomb, but they've got to do some more 15 to 20, 25-yard pass. They can dunk. It might get you down maybe a first down or two, but it doesn't work in the long run, in my opinion. It does not work. They've got to at least get Haskins going down a little bit more in the 15 to 20, 25-yard range, especially the 15 to 20-yard, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, man.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bill. Really appreciate it. Let me give you one more stat, all right, man? Here you go. Dwayne Haskins is 2 of 12 passing the ball more than 10 yards. That's unacceptable. You're not going to win games like that no matter what, no matter who's your quarterback. Those 10 and more yard passes are how you win the game, how you change the field position. I mean, it's everything for momentum, for offense, for getting guys going, for keeping the ball on offense, and getting your defense some damn rest. It feels like the first two games, our defense has been on the field 1,000 times more than our offense, which is fine because it's awesome watching Chase Young. I challenge you listeners out there to focus on Chase Young a few plays a game because it's fun to watch. And it's not just the media hyping him up that he's the next great thing. No, he actually is fun to watch. I'm Adam Epstein here till 12 noon on The Fan. Don't change that dial. I'm Adam Epstein. AWOD when I was on the Junkies. You can still call me AWOD. This is the AWOD Army. The AWOD Weekend Radio here. AWOD is still alive. All right. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. And we were talking about Washington versus Cleveland. And PFT Power Rankings has Washington at 23 and the Browns at 24. I mean, what a matchup. 23 versus 24. Don't even mention Kyle Allen's name around me, because I'm talking about Dwayne Haskins and his development. Two games into the season, guys. And you know who else likes Dwayne Haskins? That's my guy Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. He had some encouraging words about Dwayne Haskins this week.
Want to start something new this year, where every couple weeks, pick a couple quarterbacks, especially the young ones, and just give a quick hit video of the things that they're doing well and something that they need to work on. Almost bringing everybody into the quarterback meeting room. And after watching tape, if I was sitting there with that young player, this would be the things that I would tell them. Keep pushing and doing this, but let's really focus on getting better at that. And just bringing fans into that. And maybe for some fans, something to look at or to watch for with that young quarterback. I want to start with Dwayne Haskins from Washington. What do I love through two games? First of all, gotten off to rough starts as an offense the first 2 weeks. He has kept playing through those rough patches, continued to lead his team, push his team, come back in week one, and kept his team in the game in week two. So just the mindset. I love the mindset of just moving on to the next play, building good habits for the long term in your career. So I love that out of Dwayne. Two things I want to see him get better at. First of all, his feet. I want him to become a technician with his feet. He's not one of those quarterbacks that makes all these off-platform, feet all over the place, funny body throws. But when he's a technician with his feet, even in game, he's a really good player. He's got the chance to be a really good player for a long time. Become a technician through your progressions and in the pocket with your feet. And then number two, don't assume. You can predetermine where you're going to go to the football or predetermine where you want to work with the football, but don't assume. Sometimes it's like pre-snap. I'm assuming I'm just going to throw that ball there, catches the snap, and throws it. I want you to predetermine a plan or predetermine a progression instead of assuming. So there's a lot good on tape. There's a ton of room to grow. We've got to be aware of what's around him. But through 2 weeks, those are the things, or that's the thing that he's doing well, and those are the two things I really want him to focus on moving forward. Thanks.
That was Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. I totally agree with him here. 1-800-636-1067. How can Dwayne Haskins improve his game? I think he needs to take more deep shots. 100%. You have a great threat and a wide receiver in Terry McLaurin, and you have to give him a shot at making a game-changing play. On Twitter, I saw particularly there was this one third down against the Cardinals where they blitzed with man-to-man coverage, and McLaurin beat his man on a deep corner. But Haskins barely even looked his way. The rush got to him too quick. I think he ended up taking the sack. And I've seen this way too much from you, Dwayne. You know Terry is lined up man-to-man. You know this. I know this. We know this. You trust him. Trust him to win his battle. Trust your players to make plays when you put them in a position to make a play. Put the ball in a good spot, lead him, and let him go out and get it. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Greg in Hyattsville. Greg, you're on the fan.
Hey, A-Wad. First and foremost, I want to say I've listened to you on the Sports Junkies for a long time. I always felt like you carried the show. I always enjoyed listening to you. Congrats on your endeavors with your new producing gig. That's the first thing I want to say to you.
Thanks, bud.
Secondly, yeah, I'm just all the Dwayne Haskins slander is just killing me. It's been two games. It's a new coaching staff. He's learning a new playbook. They had some sort of an abbreviated offseason, if you want to call it that. I mean, really, these two games, you can more or less look at them as preseason games because everyone is trying to get it together. I mean, the offensive line, I mean, you know, the skill players that they have. I just think we all just need to relax. People are talking about putting Kyle Allen in there. I mean, for all that.
Don't even say his name, Greg. Come on.
I mean, I'm going crazy. So I think we got to relax. We have to just let the season play out. I mean, Ron Rivera said it best. We're rebuilding. We're a young team. You have to grow. You got to take the lumps. That's the only way I think these guys are going to become better. I'm going to continue to watch them regardless. And I think everybody just needs to kind of relax and just let it play out. Now, if he's like spanking it up, okay, maybe we can revisit, you know, bringing in the other guy we just mentioned. But I mean, he's not playing great, but at the same time, he's not playing terrible. Every time I look up, the offensive line is giving him no time to even decide where he wants to go with the read. And then, like you were just mentioning, the play to Terry McLaurin. I mean, he's constantly worrying about the pitter patter of feet running around, and so a lot of times he can't even step into the throws and make them. That's all I have to say. I'll get off and I'll listen to you, but I think everyone just needs to relax.
Greg, I want to get into the mind of Greg from Hyattsville, and what have you liked from Dwayne Haskins so far, though? Because I'm totally on you. I can't handle the slander. I don't even, like, every time I hear the name Kyle Allen, it hurts me inside, all right? So let me get some positives out of you. What have you liked from Dwayne so far?
I really have enjoyed watching the connection between him and Terry McLaurin. I think if they continue to play together, they're going to, you know, they can be the next good wide receiver or quarterback combination. I think at times he's used his legs when he needs to. I would like to see him do a little more play action, but I think that at times he has kind of, when he realized that the pocket was collapsing amongst him, he kind of used his legs to get out. And then for the most part, he hasn't thrown interceptions. I'm not sure if he's thrown one or two. But he's made some questionable throws. I will say that, but we've been fortunate that those didn't turn into turnovers. So, I mean, he's kept the interception totals down. Now, if he can just hold on to the ball, you know, he's had a few fumbles, I think he'll be even more better. But overall, I think Dwayne Haskins is heading in the right direction. I mean, you know, he didn't play a ton at Ohio State. Last year, it was just kind of a blip on the radar. So I think this is his first real full season in a while where he has the complete realms of the offense. So I think he'll continue to get better, and we just have to allow him the chance to continue to get better. So I like what I'm seeing from him so far. Hopefully he'll come out and just, you know, quiet all the haters tomorrow, depending on what the scheme is going to be called. But I think Dwayne can be good for us long term.
Greg, I really appreciate the call. 200 yards is his average so far, and one touchdown each game. No interceptions. That's huge. That's keeping us in the game there. Thanks, Greg, for the call. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Joining me next on the fan is my guy, Travis Thomas. We're going to go around all of the NFL games and give you big, fat winners here on 1067 The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.